This is Jay Sekulow. The president warns Russia about their engagement in Syria. And Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, not running for re-election.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We're making a decision as to what we do with respect to the horrible attack that was made near Damascus. And it will be met, and it will be met forcefully. And when, I will not say, because I don't like talking about timing.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You realize something when you take this job. It's a big job with a lot riding on you, and you feel it. But you also know that this is a job that does not last forever. Probably the two biggest achievements for me are, first, the major reform of our tax code for the first time in 36 years. Second, something I got much, much more invested on since becoming Speaker, is to rebuild our nation's military. These I see as lasting victories that will make this country more prosperous and more secure for decades to come.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We got a couple of topics to hit right off the bat. Number one, the president this morning, in a tweet that he sent out early this morning, warned Moscow that the president called them nice and new and smart missiles would be headed to Syria. This is in response to the Syrian regime utilization again of chemical weapons against their own citizens. He then said, get ready, Russia. And the reason he said, get ready, Russia, we'll talk to our military analyst, Wes Smith, in just a moment about this, is because Russia has been playing a very active role. I won't even say behind the scenes, but front and center on the issue of engagement in Syria. I mean, they are propping up the Assad regime. So we'll talk more about that. Again, we'll be joined by our military analyst, Colonel Wes Smith. Also, news this morning, which is not surprising, and that is the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, has announced, Stan, that he is leaving.
Yes, he's going to be not running for re-election at the end of this term, Jay. This is honestly what was expected around town. I mean, there was largely expected that he would not run for re-election. Some thought he wouldn't announce it till after he ran. He said today he was not willing to go back to the voters of Wisconsin and ask for their vote and then immediately retire. Jay, the one piece of news I would say here is I think people are used to expecting politicians to say one thing and do another. Paul Ryan said when he took this job 2.5 years ago, he was only going to do it short term, and apparently he meant it. His announcement today means that no matter if Republicans or Democrats win the House, there will be a new speaker next Congress.
Yeah, so that's a big development here and impacts a lot of issues. So we'll talk about that. We're going to take your calls on a whole host of issues, but also, of course, this Russia situation as it involves Syria and the United States engagement. We also have the confirmation hearing of Mike Pompeo to be the Secretary of State. And then that's on tap for tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And look, this is going to impact all of the issues we're talking about
today.
Including
Pastor Andrew Brunson, too.
That's right. I mean, we've talked about it many times. Military options are on the table. But if you're going to avoid military options diplomatically, you need to have your whole field on the team. It's got to include the Secretary of State, Jay.
Got to include the Secretary of State. It's got to include the ambassador to Germany, a G7 power, a G7 country, and we still have Rick Grenell not yet confirmed, although he's on the floor of the Senate, and we're hoping that he gets on the floor next week for a vote. I know we've been pushing on that. Is there any update on that, Dan?
He should be voted on next week, Jay. There has not been an announcement, but there would not be an excuse to not vote on him. There are six nominees that are going to get dealt with today. Leader McConnell gets to choose who gets to the floor next week, and there will be executive nominees. I would think the ambassador to Germany better be one of them.
It sure is. We're pushing hard on that. All right, we're going to take your calls and comments. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get into what do you think about the impact of Russia in Syria? And the United States, the president saying that we're not taking this use of chemical weapons as the previous administration did, where they said there was a red line, the red line was crossed, and the Obama administration did nothing. Your reaction to all this, 1-800-684-3110. Logan's going to let you know how you can engage.
That's right. Give us a call, as you said, 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting live right now on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Also, Twitter and Periscope at JaySekulow. Find us there. You can, again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You can also watch the show on ACLJ.org, which is a great place to do it, but you get those comments in on social media. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Jay Sekulow. You can tweet us your questions or comments as well. We'll take some of those during the show and during the break. If you're not watching online, we don't go to break. We continue the conversation or show you exclusive videos. But again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So we've got a situation with Syria. We've had a situation with Syria. We wrote about that situation with Syria. Said the Syrian regime is being propped up by Iran and really by Russia. We wrote about that in our book, Unholy Alliance. We now have the President of the United States saying very forcefully that to get ready in Syria because nice, new, and smart missiles would be headed to Syria. And the president then says, get ready, Russia, because the Russians are basically putting up, they are putting up the resistance that you see in Syria right now. They are in the main, really, between the Iranians and the Russians, that's the only reason Assad stays in power, Than. And before I go to Than on this one, let me get Colonel Wes Smith in here. And Colonel Smith, we talked about this before. You've served in this region of the world. You know the geopolitical situation. I wanted you share this with our Periscope and Facebook audience, but I think it's important. What's your read of this right now?
Yeah, this is going to be a complicated battle space. Actually, it already is, because there is fighting going on in Syria. Not only the Syrian civil war, but the fight against ISIS, and now Turkey is attacking our Kurdish allies. So it's a battle space already, but there is the potential for this battle space to be even more complicated. You have Russia warning the United States not to take retaliatory action against the Assad regime. It's apparent that we are absolutely going to take action against them. And so you have Iranian and Russian forces co-located with Syrian forces. And so I think part of what's going on back channel now, and then some of it is in the president's tweets, it's a way of telling the Russian forces to get your troops out of the way and giving them a chance to do that. But all indications are, Jay, that this is going to be not a one-off attack like President Trump did a year ago. This is going to be much more involved. It's going to involve our allies. And this will be a campaign because we really, the goal has to be not to deter Assad from using chemical weapons. It has to be to make it so that he can't even use chemical weapons if he wanted to. That includes destroying his air force, including helicopters, which are how the weapons were delivered the other day in Dumas by Syrian helicopters, and also taking out some of their artillery because chemical weapons are routinely fired in artillery rounds. So this will be a campaign not of days, but rather of weeks, and it will be carried on in a very complicated battle space.
All right. Thank you, Colonel Smith. All right. Let me go to Than Bennett then. Logan, I want you to – we had a good question that came in from either Facebook or Periscope during the break. I want you to read that in a moment. But okay. Let me go to Than. Let's talk about the political side of this, and that is, where do you see Congress on this issue with Syria?
Well, quite frankly, I think the Congress is relieved to hear Colonel Smith's description of a commander-in-chief that takes threats around the world seriously, Jay. And I don't say that lightly. I think we've had 8 years of leading from behind, and this is a continuation – not the beginning, the continuation of a return to an American foreign policy of strength. I mean, think about the world atmosphere that this is against the backdrop of, Jay. You've got the tightening sanctions on North Korea. You've got the pressure on China. You've got the multilateral sanctions on Russia. This has happened three times now inside the Trump administration. The increasing pressure on Iran, and now the direct and forceful promise to retaliate against Syria. And I would not say retaliate. I would say to hold Assad accountable. And here's the big difference, Jay. When the last president said that he was going to take an action, none of the world believed him. Guess what? Who the world believes now? I think they believe what President Trump says he will do in response to this situation.
All right. So, Logan, we had a very interesting call that came in during the while we were on Facebook and Periscope during the break. Let's go ahead. I think it's a very interesting question, I should say. Let's go ahead and talk about that one.
This comment came from Michael. So does this mean we are going to be at war with Russia?
Well, I think, look, I don't think these are proxy engagements in a sense. And what I mean by that is, the president's given warning that if there are Russian, what they call military advisors in the region, they better clear out. But I do not think the Russians want a war, Colonel Smith, with the United States.
No, they absolutely do not. They, first of all, if it became a large shooting war, which it would not, they would lose because our military is so much more advanced. It's so much larger, and our weapons are so much more technologically advanced. But Russia cannot afford a long war with the United States economically as well. But just on a practical, geopolitical, military basis, I'm not saying that there would not be shots fired between us and Russians. As a matter of fact, 2 months ago, Russian proxies, they were actually mercenaries hired by Vladimir Putin, attacked a group of Kurdish forces in southeastern Syria where we had special operators with those Kurdish forces. Our special operators returned fire and killed over 100 Russian mercenaries. So that has already happened. But Russia, even though there might or might not be shots fired in the days and weeks ahead as we try to punish Assad and to take out his chemical weapons capability, at the same time, I don't think there will be a larger war with Russia. They don't want that. That is not in their best interest. And
so
of course, we don't want it either.
Yeah, I mean, look, I you don't want war, you don't want engagement, I don't want troops in harm's way, but I don't want a leader in the Middle East using chemical weapons on his own people and killing thousands and hundreds of thousands of people ultimately if he got his way. I mean, that's what's going on here, and you got the Russians and the Iranians putting this up. So some people are saying, are we advocating war? I'm not advocating war. I understand what the president's doing. I understand the theory behind what the military is recommending to the president. And that is, when you look at a situation like this, if you do nothing, you can't have these false red lines. That was the problem of the Obama administration. That's why we created a vacuum in the Middle East, because we would say there's a red line, chemical weapons, that's the red line, and then never implement a red line strategy. So you that's not the way it's supposed to work. So let's go ahead and take some calls, 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Robert Maryland on line one. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Logan. Hi, Logan. Hi, Than, and hi, Jay. I wanted to ask all three of you the question. What should President Trump should do in the situation with the most recent chemical attack by the Syrian Assad regime against the civilians near Damascus? And what I mean by that, should they take a multilateral approach, not in terms of getting other nations involved, but multilateral in terms of a conventional, nuclear, and also special forces operation approach simultaneously to destroying all the chemical weapon sites? A very quick second question is that these chemical weapons that the Syrian regime are using, did they come in across the border from the neighboring country of Iraq when Saddam Hussein was transporting chemical weapons out of his country prior to the invasion of Iraq into Syria?
I'm going to defer to Wes on that in a moment as to where they may have come from, because there's an entire black market on these chemical weapons. There's no doubt about that. But let me talk about the situation as it relates to what the president... You cannot allow a dictator to utilize chemical weapons against civilians. You can't against anyone. And the president, this is not the first time the president's taken direct action on this. So let me go Than first, and then I'll get Wes's comment on this. But Than, you look at this from a geopolitical standpoint, and that's what we're, in Washington, you got to look at all of it. It is multilateral. The United Nations, I was going to ask you this, Than's are, we have NGO, non-governmental organization status with the UN, and Than is our designated representative at the UN, both in New York and in Brussels and around the globe, actually. The UN has already weighed in on this. Nikki Haley weighed in on it yesterday.
They met yesterday in the United States, called on the United Nations to look into this and to see what the multilateral response should be. Russia blocked that resolution. So that was the approach that the Security Council. But I love Robert's question, especially follow it up on your conversation with Wes about not desiring war. But here's the thing, Jay. American leadership in the world means that Vladimir Putin and Bashar al-Assad don't get to decide when and where that happens. It means if they are going to step over red lines that the United States has issued, then the United States is going to hold them responsible. And one final point on this, because I really think it ties together, Jay, if you are going to avoid war, and if you do need diplomacy, and if you do want to engage diplomacy multilaterally, you have to have your allies staffed with ambassadors.
Yep.
Germany does not have an ambassador right now. We need that one in there.
Yeah, so it ties right back into the situation in Washington. Benjamin Disraeli famously said diplomacy is war without violence, because you're trying to get to an end result, but you're just not using military force. You want to deploy all of your assets in a situation like that, includes our ambassadors. Germany being vacant is a dangerous situation for the United States of America. It's not in our best interest. It's not in our allies' best interest. And as Than said, there's going to be a vote next week on a host of nominees being put forward on the floor for actual vote. And we're hoping and asking, more than hoping, we are really pushing that Rick Grenell becomes Ambassador Grenell to Germany, and we can get that slot filled. But I want to go to Wes on this. A great question was asked there, Wes, by Robert, on the multilateral approach to this and what the actual action looks like.
Right, right. You know, sometimes, and it sounds counterintuitive, but the best way to avoid war is to take swift, strong, decisive military action, and that's what's looming here. But it's not going to be a simple, as I said, a one-off thing. The caller's question was right on target. We are going to have to go in and take out the capability that Assad has to ever again deliver chemical weapons. And there are many different platforms by which chemical weapons are delivered. It will take us a long time. It will be not nuclear forces, conventional forces, but it's a long process to go in to destroy all the helicopters, to destroy his air force, to take out most of his artillery. So it's going to be a larger campaign.
All right, Logan, we're going to take calls. We got a few lines open because we're going through some calls. You'll let everybody know how they engage with us.
That's right. You can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today on the air. You can also find us broadcasting live on social media, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Twitter and Periscope @JSeculo. We'll take some comments and questions during the break as well that we get online. You can get your comments in, like I said, on social media. Send us a tweet, post on Facebook. We'll get to as many of those as we can. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently
technically qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Obviously, in the news is the Speaker Ryan not running for re-election. But more in the news is the issue of Syria, chemical weapons, and President Trump saying that he's going to take action in response to the famous red line that President Obama allowed to be crossed. We've got a lot of calls coming in. Let me just tell everybody who we've got in the studio. So Than Bennett's with me here in our studios in Washington, D.C. We've got Colonel Wes Smith in our media center. Of course, Logan's down there as well. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I think, Logan, another good comment came in during the break. You want to save that, grab a phone call, and then we'll take the comment from Twitter?
Sure, let's go ahead and do that. Let's go to Jennifer first in California on line 3. Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi, Jennifer, go ahead.
Jay, I am grateful for Trump's strong stance against Syria, and I have read Unholy Alliance, and I'm completely aware of the situation. My prayers are that the confirmations of Mike Pompeo and the other ambassadors come, and I would ask, it would be great if Trump would stop tweeting it so the whole world knows so his enemies can attack him. But I'm grateful that you guys allow us an avenue to comment, and thank you for your work, okay?
Well, let me say this. You know, the president sent out the tweet this morning to send a message. And I'm sure that, look, there's a lot of diplomatic back channels going on, Than, right now. We know this. Everybody that's involved in geopolitical matters know there's a lot of discussion going on. But they try to deconflict, and I'll let Wes explain that in a moment. But don't think this is going on in a vacuum, because it's not.
It's not going on in a vacuum, and I actually think the message was an important one today for this reason, Jay. Bashar al-Assad needs to be told, not just see with his eyes, he needs to be told that he's no longer going to get away with this, because he has been getting away with it under the previous administration. So I think the president is speaking directly to him that he will be held accountable and that he means it. So when there's follow-through action, you know, he didn't telegraph what he's going to do. He just said there will be a response. And I think that was an important message. And the other point, Jay, and I think we should underscore it. Wes said it, but we need to underscore it. It means that if there are casualties, guess whose fault those are? They're Vladimir Putin's or Bashar al-Assad's. Because if they want to vacate those facilities before they're struck, they could.
All right. So, Colonel Smith, your thoughts?
Yeah. And theoretically, I mean, Assad could move his troops out of the military installations. We are looking to destroy the capability that they have to deliver chemical weapons. That means artillery, helicopters, airplanes. In our attack a year ago, we destroyed about 15% to 20% of their air force. But Syria has a large air force for a country in that region. And so what we are interested in doing is going in and not willy-nilly killing people, but taking out their ability to commit these horrible atrocities. And Jade, the whole world is watching. Syria is not the only nation that possesses chemical weapons. And if we let them use these, especially on their own people, with impunity, it sends a message to other countries that they can also get away with this.
Well, the president's not going to do it. There's not going to be a red line. That's not going to be.
Absolutely not.
Red lines here, they're going to be crossed with an action. Logan, you had a good comment that came in during the break. I think it's worth bringing it up.
Mark brought up, he said perhaps Wes could elaborate, why would the president announce that an attack is coming? Why openly discuss strategy? So a lot of people have asked similar questions, too.
Yeah, and I think that's, Logan, a great question. I'm going to let Wes answer it. Because generally the president has said, I'm not going to telegraph what I'm doing. But as we just said, there's a lot of diplomatic channels going on right now. That's the way it works. There's bilateral, trilateral, multilateral negotiations going on. That's the nature of this. But Wes, it's a great question. I thought it'd be worth exploring.
Yeah. The president has often said he will never telegraph what his military actions will be. Well, this is not really telegraphing it. As you mentioned, Jay, there are back channels that are really, really active right now among nations, even between us and Russia, and probably Iran through some source, to let them know what's about to happen. What the president did today was not to telegraph the details of what's going to happen, but it is, if you will, a front channel as opposed to a back channel way of letting people know, get your troops out of the way, that we are about to take decisive military action. And so it's not inconsistent with what the president's policy militarily has been before this.
All right, let's do this. Let's take, when we get time for another call here, 1-800-684-3110. We want your great comments, great questions coming in from our radio audience, our TV audience, our Facebook and Periscope audience. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's grab another one.
Sure. It's a comment that came in that our producer just passed me. It's interesting thought. Shelley on Facebook, she said, why would Assad gas his people when he is winning and is backed by Iran and Russia?
Great question, actually, because this is how he intimidates his populace. So what these dictators in the Middle East fear the most is a popular uprising. You saw it happen in when they called it the Arab Spring. Now, there's a lot of multi-plays on that. You don't know who's behind these things. But that's how this guy is utilizing, Assad, is utilizing chemical weapons as a way to engage his people and to keep them down. In other words, he'll use a chemical weapon in an area, kill, you know, 1,000 people or hundreds of people, and try to create, which it clearly does, fear in the rest of the populace to keep his regime in power. And right now, the Russians and Iranians are allowing that to happen. So I think what the president's sending out is a very strong and a very clear message that we're not going to tolerate it. I mean, that's it. Not going to tolerate it. The United States is not going to tolerate it. And I know there's a lot of questions on whether we should. Actually, let's take Nancy's question on line two, Logan, because I think it's a good question. It kind of lines us up.
Okay, Nancy in California, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Nancy.
Like a little two-parter here, but I'm saying, as horrible as it sounds, like, how does our country have the right to tell another country how to treat its people? And I ask that, an example would be, like, if another country looked at us and said, you know, some of your states are okay with the death penalty. How dare you kill your own people?
So the death penalty goes through a judicial process. I'm not a fan. I've been opposed to the death penalty, but that's because I've been practicing law too long. So that's a whole different story. But let me tell you this: it's a big. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'll let you finish. Big difference between a country that has a legislative process or a judicial process for you. This guy is violating every international norm, every matter of international law by utilizing, weapons. That are chemical weapons against populations. You're not even supposed to do this against the military, let alone civilians. So he is violating international accords. So we have the right as a nation and in the community of nations to condemn this. This is exactly the reason that when you had Nazi Germany in the 1940s and people were saying, well, it's not our problem. Well, it is our problem when people are being exterminated because they want to exist. So this is not a criminal process. This is a guy that's using chemical weapons. I got aggressive there because, Nancy, this utilization of chemical weapons by Assad's been going on for years. It's got to stop, and the community of nations have got to act, and I'm glad the president's taking some action. Finish your last part of your question.
Great. Thank you for explaining that, because I have heard other people online asking that.
Yep.
My other question is it possible that this could be like a ploy from Russia to kind of make us use some of our new military dollars to make us run down from that?
No, this is a geopolitical play by the Russians to have influence. Than you deal with the Russians as far as in the UN all the time. We run into these issues. They're making a geopolitical play. They saw weakness in the previous administration. They filled the vacuum.
This is what dictators do, both Assad and Putin. If they see an opportunity to look like the most powerful force in the world or the most powerful leader in the world, they're going to step into it. But unlike what we've seen over most of the last decade, Jay, we got a commander-in-chief that's simply not going to let them do that.
Nope. So, all right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. Logan's letting you know how you can get, if you don't get the whole hour of the program, how you can do it and how you can keep engaging with us.
That's right. You can find us broadcasting live each and every day on ACLJ.org, but you can get involved. You can comment and be part of the show on Facebook. It's at Facebook.com/JSeculo. Again, Facebook.com/JSeculo. You can also find us on Twitter and Periscope. Just search for JSeculo directly at JSeculo. We're broadcasting there. If you don't get us for the next half hour, that's a great way to find us. If you do need to leave us here, find us archived later on the ACLJ app, the JSeculo Live podcast, and at ACLJ.org. Be right back.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. The president warns the Syrian regime, including the Russians, they better be careful because coming is nice, new, and smart missiles because of Assad's utilization again of chemical weapons. This is not the first time the president has taken action on this. In our media center studios is our senior military analyst, Colonel Wes Smith. Colonel Smith, this is not the first time the president has taken action. He's warning here. Some people are saying this is he's not a guy that usually says before what he's going to do, but there's a lot of diplomacy here, and I think we have to be aware of that. There's a lot of diplomatic actions going on multilaterally here, but the question everybody's asking is why telegraph it?
Yeah, and it's indicative of how different this looming military action will be. If we were just firing cruise missiles, you know, into a Syrian base like we did a year ago. And we really did that, I think, thinking it would deter Assad from using chemical weapons, and it obviously did not. If we were doing that, though, then it's not near as complicated militarily and diplomatically as what it is now. And so the president is simply, in a public way, letting the innocents know and letting Russia and Iran know that we are going to take decisive, probably more long-term military action. And it's in addition to the back-channel conversations that are going on.
Yeah.
Right now, we don't have an aircraft carrier in the region, but the Harry S. Truman left Norfolk this morning with about 10 other warships, all of them armed with Tomahawk cruise missiles. We do have a submarine and a guided missile destroyer in the Mediterranean in range of Syria already. And so we are setting up for military action. That is something that the military does well, but sometimes it takes time. And in the meantime, yep, we're trying to let our adversaries and our allies know what are not the details of the plan, but
sure,
that we are going to take action.
Naomi on Facebook just put in on a comment, do you think Israel will be drawn into this? Look, I think the Israelis are concerned about security on their borders. They don't want to see chemical weapons utilized on civilians. Whether they'll be involved if there's a multilateral force or not, that I can't say. But I will say this because I don't know what the situation will be there. But the Israelis have an interest in this because they have borders with these governments. So you can imagine that the Israeli military is on alert as well. All right, Logan, you know, let's break from a tradition here and let's take a call in the first segment. We normally don't, but we had so many calls coming in.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and
let's go to Joe in Crown Point, Indiana on line 4. You're on the line. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, with President Trump recently announcing that he was going to start withdrawing our troops from the area, it doesn't make a lot of sense that Assad would do something to escalate the situation.
Well, he is, though. I mean, this is the guy is trying to prop up his power, and this is he's got the Russians behind him, so it's not, and the Iranians. So this is not Assad flying solo here. He's got co-pilots, and actually, Assad is really a proxy for the Iranians and the Russians in this. I mean, he's doing it because he wants to stay in power. This is a power grab move or a power hold move by him. But that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not so sure it's inconsistent either, actually, Jay. I mean, this has sort of been his history. Provoke, 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 try to get a response or try to get someone to not respond and therefore increase his power. But, Jay, maybe after the break we could play some of this sound from Nikki Haley at the Security Council, because I think she put the blame where it needs to be on Russia for blocking that resolution. We talk about a multilateral approach. If you want to build world opinion, the Security Council is really where you need to do it. But Syria is being protected at the Security Council
by the Russians. So we will play that when we come back from the break. We'll also be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan will take comments as well as they come in.
That's right. Exclusive videos coming up during the break as well. So if you're watching online, we either continue the conversation during breaks or we play you exclusive videos made by our video team. Excellent videos each and every day. But again, ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Twitter, Periscope @JSeculo. We're broadcasting live there. It's video and audio, so if you watch, you get a television-style experience. So you can check that out. Also, make sure to visit ACLJ.org for all the news and commentary that we post each and every day on our social media and on our website, our app, and any way you can get us. But again, exclusive videos coming up. The break phone lines are completely jammed, but they will open up. A couple calls are being screened right now, so 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Here's the president's tweet. Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice, new, and, quote, smart. You shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it. That's a strong word from the president of the United States. And he is, let me go to our military analyst, Colonel Wes Smith here. You know, Colonel Smith, I think what the president is projecting here is not just talk, because this will be backed up. Generally, these are backed up with action.
Yeah, and that's the biggest difference in this conversation that's going on both publicly and privately compared to the previous administration. And it's the biggest change in our relationship with our adversaries, such as Russia and Iran. I am confident this morning that Vladimir Putin believes what President Trump is saying, that an attack is imminent. We're not giving the details of how the attack will take place or when it will take place, and so it's really disingenuous to say he's telegraphing what he's going to do, because that's really not an accurate statement. We have a lot of assets in the Middle East, not only the guided missile, destroyers and cruisers and submarines and what have you, but we have air assets in insular Turkey And we fly missions out of Incirlik Air Base over Syria right now fighting ISIS.
Yep.
We routinely have aircraft in the Gulf states. And also, people don't realize it, but our B-1 and B-52 bombers with precision-guided weapons, when they fly their missions, they actually fly from the United States. They refuel en route. Those missions routinely fly from the continental United States. They've been involved bombing Afghanistan and earlier Iraq for years, and sometimes in Syria against ISIS. And so we have a lot of different ways to approach this campaign.
One of our viewers on Facebook just posted, and I think this is important, that her son is on the USS Truman, is in the Navy, and her other son is on one of the destroyers that are going to the region. And she said, pray for our military. And I think, you know what? Pray for our military. Pray for our military leaders, but pray for our military men and women that are defending freedom and trying to protect people from being gassed by a regime. And again, so pray for our leaders, pray for the military. I think that was a very good comment. Let's go ahead and take calls, 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have next, Logan?
All right, let's go in order a little bit. Let's go to Jonathan, who's calling in South Carolina. You're on the air on line one. Jonathan, welcome.
Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I have a two-part question. I'll just ask it and then let you guys answer it. First of all, you know, last year, I believe it was April, when President Trump struck with the last chemical attack, you know, Russia pretty much, I guess, sat back, and maybe that was because of, you know, what the general stated, that Russia really doesn't want to get involved. But this time, with everything going on and what's at stake, how long do you guys feel that Russia, if they don't stay out, how long, and what will they tolerate the allies doing? And then my second part of my question is, Jay, I usually agree with you on a lot of stuff. I do listen to your show whenever I can during lunch. Sure. The one thing that I don't think you're really answering, though, is where is the proof because of Assad doing this? Because even the UN has come out and said there is no proof to this. Assad, and I don't mean to really, honestly, I don't mean to sound anti-American, because I really appreciate what our soldiers do for us and the veterans and the soldiers that are there now. But I mean,
well, you asked a question, Jonathan. You asked a question. Let me have Van Bennett, who's our not only director of governmental affairs but is our representative to the United Nations. We have status there, so I'm going to let Van.
Just a couple of things. The United Nations statement on this doesn't mean anything because it's Vladimir Putin speaking. Of course, he's going to say there's no evidence. This is what he does. He covers for Assad. The two other things I would say, Jay, is history tells us that Assad has done this time and time and time again. So all indications would be that it is him, even before you look at the evidence. Jay, the evidence, though, is in the hands of the Commander-in-Chief. It's evidence that I cannot see. I would look at history and say, of course it was Assad, but the evidence that he is looking at is almost certain to confirm it. But we can't tell you what that is because we can't see it.
Let me play Nikki Haley's comment number 45 at the United Nations Security Council.
These deadly weapons have been used on Syrian families again. And when the people of Douma, along with the rest of the international community, looked to this council to act, one country stood in the way. History will record that. History will record that on this day, Russia chose protecting a monster over the lives of the Syrian people.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
All right,
let's go ahead and take those calls.
All right, we're going to Vincent, who's calling in Manhattan. You're on the air.
Hey, Vincent, go ahead.
How are you guys? I just have a fast question for the Colonel Smith and for you guys in general. Colonel, thanks for your service. Do you think Vladimir Putin would be foolish enough to save face in Russia to try to attack us back?
In other words, do you think, Colonel Smith, do you think there'll be any retaliatory action by Putin, or do you think they will? They're saying they're going to shoot down any missiles fired at Syria. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a possibility, perhaps the likelihood, that Russia would respond in some fashion militarily. They've installed their S-400, S-500 anti-aircraft batteries throughout Syria. It's one of these batteries that a few weeks ago shot down the Israeli jet that was flying on a mission over Syria. So there is the possibility, especially with anti-missile, anti-aircraft fire, that either the Russians will respond or the Syrians manning Russian weapons will respond. Military service is inherently dangerous. And that's part of what goes into the considerations when we take military action. There are no guarantees that people will not get hurt, which is all the more reason to pray for our men and women in uniform. I think Russia might take that kind of action. I do not think.
So it would be targeted action to try to take down the missiles to show that they've got some strength.
Right, or the airplanes.
Yeah,
Jane, just let me just quickly say, we don't want escalation, but guess what? Assad is escalating this. I mean, he just gassed his people. And the one thing that, you know, frustrates me a little bit in this conversation, I'm so glad that Colonel Smith can speak to this, but I hear the concern about escalation on Capitol Hill, and it has already happened, and I am sick and tired of Assad being the one that gets to decide when we retaliate. But if he provokes and if he threatens and if he attacks, for too long, the United States has taken that as reason to stand down. It's by standing up that we prevent him from doing this again.
No, I completely concur. Logan, you want to take another? Yeah, we got time for a call. Or do you want to take a comment?
Let's go ahead and take a call because phone lines are lighting up as we get into the next segment. We'll take as many calls as we can at 1-800-684-3110. Steve's calling line two. You're on the air.
Hey, Steve.
Steve, there.
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What if Assad is not being a proxy? What if it's more than being a proxy and being allowed to do this? What if he is actually a pawn? And I'm thinking if he...
Well, I think a proxy is a pawn. So, I mean, that's what... I mean, they're moving... The Russians and the Iranians are moving players around the field. And it happens to be that Assad is their proxy, which is a pawn. And there's not a lot of light between the two. That's pretty much the same thing. But he's willingly doing this and is doing this to his own people. And the Russians and the Iranians are encouraging bad acts. Bad acts in violations of international law, bad acts in violation of international norms, bad acts as it relates to the Iranian regime trying to utilize their influence to export their version of a revolution right into the rest of the Middle East. That's what the Iranians are up to. We wrote about this in the book on Holy Alliance. That's precisely why we wrote that book. All right. I'm going to tell you this, Logan. We're going to take calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. But let me say, as we get ready in about 2 minutes to go to break, we've got a couple lines open. We did that for you because we want your comments in for the last segment. Logan will let you know how you can engage that. And I've got a quick question run by Than and to Wes.
That's right. You can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We just cleared through a bunch of calls so we can open up for you to give us a call. That's at 1-800-684-3110.
All right, so here's the diplomatic question, Than. We know there's diplomatic communications going on right now. That is not exclusive for military action. What is your sense of where Congress is on all of this?
I think Congress is relieved to have a strong presence down the street, Jay. And honestly, I think if there was an honest moment, I think that relief spans across the aisle, because I think for too long they have looked around the world and seen people like Vladimir Putin and Bashar al-Assad call the shots, and no longer are they calling the shots. Now, I will say this again because I think it's very important. Diplomatically, our message is not as strong as it could be, because the posts that need to be filled to communicate in a timely and forceful fashion with our allies in the region and the strongest allies, and Germany's the one that comes to mind, some of those posts are not filled. So I think Congress is relieved, but I think diplomatically, Jay, we are not as strong as we should be because the Senate has not confirmed some of those key posts.
All right. So I then go to Wes Smith and say, militarily, right now, what is going on with the leadership, with the generals, with those that are going to be implementing the strategy? We'll talk about it more when we come back from the break, but give me a 30-second view.
Yeah. They are sending alert messages to various forces, not only those that will be involved in direct action, but those that might be involved in direct action. The Harry S. Truman with 8 or 10 of his escort ships is moving in that direction. The people that are there now... are receiving what we call warning messages, alerts, and at the senior levels, the combatant commands, they actually already have the details of how this is going to launch, and eventually that'll be passed down the chain of command.
All right. We'll be back in just a few moments. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take as many calls as we can during the next segment, the last segment of the day. Again, that's at 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting online. You get your comments in on Facebook at facebook.com/jseculo. But right now, phone lines are open. We cleared through a bunch of calls so you guys can give us some. 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Get ready, Russia, the president says, because they will be coming nice and new and smart, and that's missiles aimed at Syria. Quote, you shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it. That's from the president of the United States, a very strong message to the Syrian regime of Assad, but also a very strong message also to the Russians. Now, having said that, I think this is important. Than got some information just now that we had during the break. Let's go ahead and talk about this. This is important.
Well, Will Haynes, our producer, is looking at this as well. But Fox News is reporting that satellite images show Russian warships are actually leaving port in Syria. So now, Jay, we have to speculate on what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, they could be moving out to meet the threat. But to me, the most obvious thing is they've seen this message from the president as believable, and they're evacuating, Jay. So while this is a very forceful message from the president of the United States, it's also a humanitarian one. He's going to say, we're going to come in, we're going to destroy your capacity. But if you want to save your own people, it looks like Assad does not. But if you want to save your own people, here's your opportunity.
Well, here's the reality, Wes. The Russians are not going to have a military conflict with the United States Navy in the Mediterranean.
No.
I mean, that's just not reality.
No.
So I think that, I mean, you know, again, you're the military expert. I'm not. You tell me what you think.
Yeah, they're overpowered. We have a lot more assets there than they do, although they do have a warm water port now, thanks to Syria. But yeah, I think they're moving their people and equipment out, probably not only at sea, but also in land away from Syrian military installations, because the message, and it may have been communicated precisely this way on back channels, but the implied message is that every Syrian military installation is a potential target. And if you do not want to get injured or killed, you need to leave that area. And my sense is this is exactly what the Russians are doing.
Yeah. So
they
all right,
take
we're taking
our
your calls,
800-684-3110.
Yeah. Logan, let's go ahead and we're going to try to grab as many calls as we can this last
all
segment.
Right. Ted in Pennsylvania on line 4. You're on the air.
Hey, Ted.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yes. My question is, what will the fallout be once we strike Syria, and how much money do you anticipate this costing the United States? And how long do you think we will be stuck in Syria, or do you think we will attack them and leave?
I think this is look, I'm going to defer to Wes on the military strategy, but I think what the president's going to try to do is send a message. I don't expect boots on the ground. There's not an invasion of Syria as far as I mean I'm not in those meetings, so I could speculate, but I don't think that's what this is.
No,
this is going to probably be from our ships and from the air targeted directly, and there could be casualties. Look, that's what happens unfortunately in war. but it's going to be aimed at these facilities and aimed at this regime for what they're doing. What's your sense of that?
Yeah. We have no strategic reason to invade and occupy Syria. That is not in the cards. And it's not a matter, we're not only sending a message that you can't use chemical weapons with impunity. We are actually, I think, going in to demolish the Syrian military so that they are no longer capable of even delivering chemical weapons. They also have chemical weapons factories. They will also be targets. So to answer the caller's question, this is not a long-term affair. It's not a simple missile strike, but it's not ground troops. It's going in and taking out military capabilities of the Syrian military.
All right, taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's next? You do a call or comment, your call.
Yeah, let's go to continue with the calls. Jim in North Carolina, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Go ahead with your question.
Great, yeah, listen to the conversation here. I thought, put my two cents in, but I feel like there needs to be a long-term and a quick end to this. Just dropping bombs and, I guess getting back at them, and then they come back and do it again. It just seems like it goes on and on. Can we just arm the people and somehow get something going where they can overthrow this madness?
So, yeah, you're talking about the one that they had at one point. We had the Syrian rebel forces. It's, the problem is because the region is in such conflict, it's not clear who those forces are. Are you ending up in a situation where you are funding ISIS, for instance, because they're opposed to the Assad regime? So you have this kind of inner Islamic issue with the Sunni and Shia. But you also have a situation where you don't know if these are friend or foe who you're funding. I mean, that's part of the problem here. But then I know Congress has been looking at it.
We're not that far removed from a situation where President Obama spent tens of millions of dollars in order to train, in the end, five rebels to fight against ISIS. So you've got to be very careful that you don't arm the wrong people. I'm not saying that it's a strategy that isn't viable at times, but you have to be very careful. But Jay, I think here's the larger point. We are not trying to fuel, instigate, or further propagate a civil war. We're trying to destroy Assad's military capacity, like Wes Smith said, because he has abdicated his right to have that capacity. So once we destroy it, guess what? We're not rebuilding it for him.
No, absolutely. Let's go take another call.
All right, Michael in New Jersey online too. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to make a point. I'm a former Special Operations Unit individual myself.
Thank you for service.
Many, many years. Yep. But thank you. But the big thing is I believe this is all about Putin. He's moving down in that area. It's all about money for him to get strategical footholds down there with oil.
Yep.
And move his military type stuff down there. He wants to see if Trump is going to be like Obama, flap his gums and do nothing.
Here's what he's got. I mean, he's making a geopolitical play in the region. There is no doubt about it. And he filled that vacuum when the United States vacated and set in false red lines in the sand, and it didn't matter. So there's no question that Vladimir Putin is trying to exercise his influence in the Middle East. They had disengaged from the Middle East for a long time. Now they've reengaged. And that's just the reality, Wes, of what's going on geopolitically right now.
Yeah, up until the end of the Cold War, the Soviet Union had a tremendous military presence throughout the Middle East. When the Soviet Union went away and economically they suffered, they pulled back their military. And this is really literally the first time that Russia now in a major way is trying to reestablish a foothold in the Middle East like they had during the heydays of the Soviet Union, and at the same time trying to diminish the influence and presence of the United States.
All right, that is going to wrap up our calls for the day. I want to say this. We said this, a caller said this earlier. There are men and women in harm's way that are representing the United States of America in these kind of actions, and other countries too, for that matter, that may be joining us in trying to eliminate and eradicate these chemical weapons issues in Syria. Pray for them. Pray for our leaders. Pray for those in authority. Pray for the wisdom of our military men and women as they engage, in our generals and commanders as they put forward the plan to do this. This is a serious situation. We should not, as a civilized culture, for a moment, tolerate chemical weapons utilized on individual citizens of countries. That's just not the way the nations of the world should react to something. And I'm glad that the president has stepped up and is willing to say, you're I think the important part of this tweet, you shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it. Diplomacy by Twitter? Maybe. Effective? No question. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Logan, let everybody know how they can stay engaged.
That's right. You can be part of the show each and every day as we go live on radio stations across the country and around the world on social media and online at ACLJ.org. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Facebook.com/JSeculo, also the ACLJ. And you can find us on Twitter at JSeculo at ACLJ. And on Periscope as well, we go live there again every day. So a lot of outlets for you. Archive later on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast on the ACLJ app or on our website. So you can find that all there. We continue the conversation through our website, through our social media outlets every day after the show. So you can be a part of that and keep up to date what's new and what we're talking about. Again, that's at ACLJ.org, where you can also support the ACLJ.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.